beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Welcome to Tooncast Beyond. This is yet again another animation direction spotlight. Which one is this?
Fired.
I know, right? I probably should be fired, ladies and gentlemen. This is the seventh animation direction spotlight, and this time we're going to be talking about the Fleischers. Of course, I'm TFU and Mike. Joining me is TV's Mr. Neil.
I would gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Oh, my God. I don't know if he is the best or the worst sidekick ever.
He has his moments.
Over on Pixels the Animation, I bitched in the Mario era about Mario being obsessed with food and everything else. But, you know, sadly, I don't mind that, oh, God, what's his damn name?
Wimpy.
Wimpy, that's right, Wimpy. I don't mind that. I mean, Wimpy's already obese, really.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Just adding to his problem. But yes, we're talking about the Fleischers. And what I find really interesting, we're going to start off in the now, in the today, and then we're going to go back to the past. What I find really interesting about the Fleischer Studios today is that it operates as a company which continues to hold the rights to Betty Boop and associated characters such as Coco the Clown, Bimbo, and Grampy. It is headed by Max's grandson, Mark Fleischer, who oversees merchandising activities. Fleischer Studios utilizes King Feature Syndicate to license Fleischer characters for various merchandise. So I like that it's been kept in the family. So often you'll see companies like this, you know, be sold off to some giant conglomerate and not have any of the original family members in it. So, there's that. Fleischer Studios started, it was founded in 1921 as Inkwell Studios, or out of the Inkwell Films.
Right.
So, Inkwell Studios, you know what the first thing I think of when I see that name?
What?
The Ink and Paint Club.
Ah, okay.
this is the first thing I think of when I see that name.
That
studio it's been open 93 years. Wow. Holy crap. For the Fleischer stuff, I remember seeing a lot of Popeye cartoons, but I never really, as a kid, paid attention to who was doing the Popeye cartoons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even now, I hear the theme song, but unlike the Looney Tunes stuff where I actually look at the credits, I never really looked at the credits for Popeye. And it's so interesting that he was at Fleischer. He started at Fleischer, didn't he?
Yeah.
And they have two of the biggest strong men in pop culture history. They have Popeye and Superman.
Right.
They also have Betty Boop. Oh, God.
Well, really quick, you asked where Popeye started. He didn't actually start at the cartoon studio. He was originally a cartoon comic book character, comic strip character that started in 1919, I think. And he was actually like a bit character who was in a comic called Thimble Theater, I think. And he eventually evolved into the main character, and the comic's name was changed to Popeye eventually. So...
No, yeah, I meant in animation, though. He started at Fleischer.
Absolutely. In fact, his first, I think his first cartoon was in a Betty Boop cartoon. Oddly enough.
Oh, God. Olive Oil is Betty Boop's sister.
Oh, no.
What drew you to the Fleischer cartoons?
Well, it's not really that anything specifically drew me to the Fleischer cartoons, because... Going back to when I was a kid, everything was in syndication packages, and you had the Hanna-Barbera stuff, it's like you'd have Flintstones, and you'd have Jetsons in another package, and then you'd have Tom and Jerry, and then you'd have like Woody Woodpecker in his own package, and then you had Popeye. And back then, Popeye, they just mixed everything. There was like the there was the Fleischer Popeye, there was the famous Popeye, and there was one, I think, in the 60s. I should remember the name of the guy because I hate him, but there was a guy who headed a studio that made some of the worst Popeye cartoons ever. And then there was like a late 70s, early 80s Hanna-Barbera Popeye, and those are like the four main ones. And the Fleischer ones are the best of the group, because they're so well animated. They're kind of simple, and they have a lot of like repeating cycles and everything, but they're really well drawn, and the animation is really top notch. In fact, I think the Popeye cartoons are the best black and white cartoons out of any studio. I mean, you compare this like the Porky Pig cartoons. The Popeye cartoons blow Porky Pig away, because they're just so funny, and lots of really great funny gags, and it's the one that makes me laugh the hardest is when it's the first one where Sweet Pea shows up, and he's taking Sweet Pea to the zoo, and there's all these funny gags with the animals. Like Sweet Pea gets into the elephant pen, and the elephant's just barely missing trampling on Sweet Pea. And then there's the one where, or the same episode where Popeye has to wrestle an alligator, and he does the alligator wrestling where you get it on its back and you rub its belly, and then the alligator gets up and lays Popeye down and rubs his belly, and Popeye falls asleep. And that, I think, I laughed the hardest out of any cartoon. These are such great cartoons, and I think 1929 or so, or maybe later than that, they did three shorts that were like, they were double reels. So they were like, they were more than double, like they're almost triple length, but they were two reel cartoons, and they made three of them. And it was like this trilogy of color specials. It was the first time Popeye was in color. And those are like the best. And I think you should put those in the show post, because they're all public domain anyway. So you're not getting into any trouble if you show them on the site. So, those are really neat. Like the one where he meets Alibaba, and the one where he meets Sinbad the Sailor. That's the funniest one, I think.
Yeah. What I remember about Popeye is, as a kid, what I remember about it without going back and watching some of them, which I did before we did this. I mean, I saw the Alibaba one, I saw the Sinbad one, and all I really remember is it's either, I don't think it's Fleischer, but it's later when he has the three nephews. They saddle him with three nephews and or three sons or something. They basically pull a Donald Duck on him.
Yeah, they do.
And they're talking about eating the spinach, and the kids don't want to eat that. That's what I, as a kid, that's what I remember from Popeye. But going back and watching these, really, as a kid, watching the Fleischer Popeyes, what I remember the most is just the constant battles between him and Bluto over olive oil.
Right.
And I'm sorry, what the hell kind of a name for a woman is olive oil? I just don't.
I like that. I mean, she's just a twig, and for some reason you got these two clowns fighting over her.
I don't get it. And they make I know in certain ones Bluto was more fat than muscular, but in some of these Fleischer ones he's muscle bound. He's not, you know, obese. He's not, you know, out of shape. And it just, I don't know, like the ones where he's shown to be fat and, you know, not your average typical guy, well, not the strong, you know, big muscled guy, I can kind of see why Olive wouldn't want to date Bluto, but it's one of those things where it's a little strange, and it just, I don't know. The love triangle between the three of them is just so weird. It really is. I think my favorite Popeyes are him and Wimpy. And Wimpy always dealing with the hamburgers.
My favorite thing about the old Popeyes is just they let that voice actor, oh man, I wish I don't have his name here, but that guy, they would just let him ad-lib like crazy. Like, you watch those cartoons, Popeye's lips are not moving. He's not, he doesn't even appear to be communicating, and that guy's just ad-libbing like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always funny.
Popeye's Voyage, 2004, Popeye and Son, 87, Popeye Meets the Man Who Hates Laughter, 72, 1980, Jack Mercer?
Maybe? Jack Mercer, yeah. And you know what? That guy voiced Popeye from the very early cartoons all the way until the Hanna-Barbera era. He voiced that character right up to the 80s, and the first cartoon that he wasn't the voice was Popeye and Son.
Right, right.
And he might not have been in the very earliest Popeye cartoons, but he was in there pretty quickly.
Other Fleischer properties such as Betty Boop. Oh my God, I hadn't thought of Betty Boop until she showed up in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Honestly, like I hadn't seen a. By the time I was 9 years old in '89, I had not seen a Betty Boop cartoon. I don't think in a long time. And or 88, I should say, was when Roger Rabbit came out. But the fact that Mae Questel was able to reprise in Who Framed Roger Rabbit for that one scene,
right?
Because she was the original Betty Boop.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The other crazy thing about her is she is the aunt in she's Uncle Lewis's wife in Christmas Vacation.
Oh my God.
I cannot believe they got the voice of Betty Boop to be this, you know, this basically aunt who is just off her rocker and not all there. Aunt Bethany, that's what it is. Bethany and Lewis, that's what it was. In 33, she started providing the voice for Olive. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
1933. Let's see. Alzheimer's disease. She. When was it? Age of 89. Doesn't say exactly what year here. Let's see. She died in 1998. Huh. I love the Betty Boop cartoons. They're just between them and I know this isn't Fleischer, but between them and the Red Hood cartoons, the wolf and the Red Riding Hood.
Right.
It's like, oh my god, this is so amazing. Fleischer's has had a lot of stuff over the years. Arguably, their two biggest are Superman and Popeye.
Right.
And those, I can't believe there are only 17 Superman shorts.
Right.
I just cannot. I mean, Superman was huge, and I just can't believe that they were only had 17 shorts.
Superman was a huge step up from Popeye. I mean, they increased the quality quite a bit when they started making Superman cartoons. Yet you could still kind of tell that they were the same studio.
Mm-hmm. I still remember that very first episode because it's such a... The very first episode of the Superman Fleischer cartoons is him going up against the mad scientist in the castle on the hill that has this evil bird and everything else. This mad scientist is going to destroy this city. It really reminds me of one of the Gossamer Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah, it does.
It really, really does. But I still love it. I think what I love most about the Fleischer Superman stuff is just how well the wink wink nudge nudge was done when it came to Superman being Clark Kent. Like you hear Lois and Perry off to the side saying something about Superman and Clark Kent, and you know, Clark's never around when we need him and blah blah blah. And you'll see Superman on screen just kind of wink and then run off to either be Clark or, you know, whatever else. it's so funny. It's just absolutely so funny.
Right.
And I think that was my, outside of the 78 film, the Fleischer Superman cartoons was my first exposure to Superman outside of the 78 film and obviously Super Friends. But I don't remember ever seeing a lot of the old TV series for Superman.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember Batman because it was so campy and so there and so in your face, and it's interesting that at least to some people in, you know, the mainstream, that Batman's kind of everywhere now and Superman's still around, he's still everywhere as well, but it seems like the popularity has shifted between the two and Batman's kind of in the lead right now.
Yeah, they kind of go back and forth. Were you talking about the Superman theatrical serials, like one with George Reeves?
The TV series, the 50s TV series, Adventures of Superman.
I'll have to look that up.
It was with I don't remember off the top of my head. I don't remember.
But speaking of Batman, These shorts actually inspired Batman the Animated Series quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That and the 89 film.
Yeah, but they really like went for the style of this cartoon over pretty much anything else.
Right, right.
Yeah, and the sad thing about the Fleischer Superman is that this is actually around the time that Fleischer fell apart. So it started at Fleischer and ended at Famous Studios, which is not one of my favorite studios. Because the famous Popeyes are kind of not good. I mean, they're acceptable, but it's less about visual gags and more about, like, you know, working up to Popeye getting the spinach and just beating up Bluto for, I don't know, for hitting on Olive for some reason. And they're just, I just don't find them as funny.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in the Fleischers, it's just amazing. Like I said, it's so simple, and yet, like, sometimes they would just do some of the most amazing animation. Like, in one of the extra length episodes that I was talking about, there's one where they have Popeye hanging from a rope, and he eats the spinach, and he beats up this fish that's about to eat him, and then he spins up the rope, and as the rope is wrapping around his body, if you watch the animation, they aren't just like running a loop, they're actually like showing how the rope is like wrapping around and around his body, and it's like there aren't two frames that are the same. It's just like it just gets more and more complex as the rope around his body is getting bigger and bigger. It's really incredible animation for the 1920s and 30s, for Christ's sake. And it's like stuff that you wouldn't even see today. Like they would never do that today, except for, like, I don't know, CG animation where, like, you could actually, like, I guess program a routine in the computer to do that, but they would never be traditional.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, you know, looking it up on Wikipedia to jump back to Superman for a second here, I was thinking of Bud Collier, but the one that came up was the, come on, back button. The Adventures of Superman, 104 episodes, 6 seasons. It was George Reeves.
I'm never very familiar with that. I thought they were theatrical, but I don't know.
But I mean, I just remember what I was saying about this was, I remember seeing the specials on that 14-disc giant DVD set they did for the films, and I remember seeing the special feature. They, you know, talking about the history of Superman and how in the TV show he used a springboard for flying and that kind of thing, and like that's what I was saying. It's like, outside of, if it wasn't for the Fleischer cartoons, my first exposure to Superman would have been Donner's 78 film. It would not have been anything other than that. Right.
Well, it really shouldn't be Super Friends anyway.
Well, yeah. Super Friends.
It's like, how many episodes of them just fighting weather?
That, or how many episodes is it just Darkseid lusting over Wonder Woman?
Or just Wendy and Marvin. Like, you, typical Saturday morning, you know, you can't have them, like, actually doing anything violent, so you have to kind of find a way to do Superman and Batman while not actually doing the things that Superman and Batman actually do. It's like they can, I guess Batman can throw a grappling hook, but he can't punch the Joker.
Yeah, no punching allowed.
Yeah. But he can meet Scooby-Doo. But anyway, we're really off topic. Fleischer Studios.
Yes, yeah. Fleischer Studios.
Yeah, and I guess what happened to the studio was, it's kind of a long story, but the short of it is that the brothers weren't getting along, and I guess they were hemorrhaging money, and they actually had to sell out to Paramount. Paramount basically took over the studio, and it became famous. And you had said that that the Fleischer Studio actually continues on, but I think that's more of like a holdings company. It's not the actual studio.
The
studio became famous and and made some terrible Popeye cartoons. I'm sorry, I just don't like those cartoons.
What do you prefer better, Popeye in color or Popeye in black and white?
I would say black and white, but one caveat on that is that they had colorized some of the black and white cartoons, and some of those are hit and miss. Like, I know, like, most the popular opinion is that, like, Popeye and colorized black and white Popeye, no, but like some of them came out okay, and some of them really weren't very good at all. So, yeah, I guess I sort of side with the people who like are purists and want black and white, but some of them are okay, I guess. That's not counting the three color specials where they were in color to begin with.
Yeah.
And those were actually pretty cool because you notice they had like 3D sets in there.
Mm.
Yeah, they had actually built little sets and they put the animation on top of it. It in sort of a weird, I'm not even sure how they did it. It was like kind of looked like Roger Rabbit-ish, but it also, the way they were built, they kind of looked cartoonish anyway, and it didn't look weird. So you have Bluto and Popeye walking around these sets that are built in clay and whatever else, but they look like they belong. It's, they really did a great job on those.
Mm. Yeah. I wish we had, you know, something today that had Popeye and like something like Roger Rabbit that made it make sense for all the cartoons to come together. I know they've done several commercials where several different like 80s cartoons have come together and stuff, but it's still not. I really want to see a lot of these old cartoons kind of come together in some sort of way, even if it is just some ad.
I'm trying to remember what ad that was where like a bunch of cartoons all came together. It was like Popeye and a bunch of Hanna-Barbera characters and the Peanuts, mm-hmm. and Great Bape and Voltron.
It was probably...
I don't remember what that was a commercial for.
I think it's MetLife.
Oh, really?
I think it is MetLife because it had Peanuts in it. And usually when you're talking MetLife, the Peanuts are not far behind.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see if I'm right here. No, I don't know. Yeah, but I could have sworn it was a MetLife commercial.
See, when you make stuff like that, it kind of makes the... It kind of builds a sort of a Saint Elsewhere theory where, you know, all the cartoons exist in one universe and all you have to do is find all the places where they cross over. If anyone out there knows what the Tommy Westfall theory is.
Oh, it was from 2 years ago. It was MetLife. They're all in a field. It's Peanuts, He-Man and Battle Cat, Peppy, Speedy, Scooby, Mr. Magoo, Quick Draw and Yosemite Sam walking hand in hand is strange.
Oh my God.
Marvin the Martian, Elroy Jetson, Grape Ape, Richie Rich has Daphne in his limo, Voltron. Yeah, it was MetLife. It was the Everyone commercial. That's what it was.
Oh,
it's just so hilarious. Something like that would be interesting to see with a lot of the old stars. It really would. And I know we've gotten way off topic here, folks. Fleischer Studios, amazing stuff that they put out. Absolutely love it. Even today, it's still very enjoyable and very funny. I mean, the Popeye stuff is just so funny. The Popeye stuff might be the earliest cartoons that dealt with bullying.
I don't think they dealt with bullying. I think they were just making... It's like we're talking about a time when like none of these social issues were really a thought in anyone's mind. It was just like, what is the funniest way that we can make Popeye beat the shit out of Bluto?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, you take it in today's standard and crux and look at it that way.
Yeah, but then
technically Bluto was a bully.
Yeah, but and, then you know, get Popeye you get the cynical people who are like, "Well, Popeye was just preventing, you know, Bluto from raping Olive," and I'm like, "Dude, don't look at it that way." I hate when people
superimpose
social issues on old girls.
I don't look at it that way, yeah. But. I do kind of see it as Bluto was the bully.
Yeah,
and,
I'm just,
you know, Popeye had to be the hero.
I'm just afraid of opening that can of worms. It's like once you go down that road, then other people are like, there are other social issues we could talk about. I'm like, oh no, come on,
no. All right, wow. All right, so that has been this episode of Tooncast Beyond. You know, Fleischer Studios, amazing stuff. Coming up next, we've got Walter Lantz. That's going to be all you, buddy. Had to give the history a lesson on that, because until you mentioned the name, I don't think I've seen anything that they'd done.
Yeah, Woody Woodpecker has kind of fallen out of favor. That's really weird, because there was a time when, like, that was a staple. It's like, you would have, like, the classic cartoon blocks, and it would be, like, Flintstones, Tom and Jerry, Woody Woodpecker, and Popeye, just like 2 hours of pretty much anywhere you live, someone had like a 2 hour block where it was like those four cartoons all stitched together. And of the four, Woody Woodpecker is the one that's fallen into total obscurity. And I'm not sure why.
Yeah. And that's kind of sad though, when you think about it. I mean, because Woody Woodpecker cartoons were hilarious.
They were funny.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of went to the same way that Popeye cartoons went, but not as bad. Like some of the later Woody Woodpecker cartoons are kind of bleh, but there were certainly a lot of funny ones.
And I think I could be wrong about this, but wasn't Chilly Willy blocked in with him?
Yes.
See, I used to love the Chilly Willy stuff as a kid. Wasn't that supposed to be Chilly Willy in one of those Bugs Bunny cartoons where... No, it wasn't, but I think it was supposed to be a ripoff of Chilly Willy.
It was very similar.
Yeah, the penguin who wants to go home but got left, and Bugs has to take him to the South Pole. Oh, I'm dying! It's like, oh God, you get to the South Pole and turns out the Penguin's from Hoboken, New Jersey. God, so hilarious. All right, we are going to get out of here, folks. We will see you next time here on Tooncast Beyond.
Now I'll get you a spinach. One for Popeye, one for Pip-Eye, one for Popeye, and one for Peep-Eye. If you get through fast, kids, we'll go and hook. Hey! Come back here. It's always good to has a little exercise when you has finished your meal. But you kids ain't finished yet. Now pick up your spoons and get done. Get going. Doesn't you want to grow up big and strong as your Uncle Popeye?
But we don't like spinach.
Spinach can make you strong enough to does impossible stunts. You can even play the piano like, Powderowski. Thank you. does you think Fred upstairs learned to dance so good? It was spinach. Yeah, there.
But we don't like spinach.
In the endless reaches of the universe, there once existed a planet known as Krypton, a planet that burned like a green star in the distant heavens. There, civilization was far advanced and had brought forth a race of supermen whose mental and physical powers were developed to the absolute peak of human perfection. But there came a day when giant quakes threatened to destroy Krypton forever. One of the planet's leading scientists, sensing the approach of doom, placed his infant son in a small rocket ship and sent it hurtling in the direction of the Earth just as Krypton exploded. The rocket ship sped through star-studded space, landing safely on Earth with its precious burden, Krypton's sole survivor. A passing motorist found the uninjured child and took it to an orphanage. As the years went by and the child grew to maturity, he found himself possessed of amazing physical powers. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound, the infant of Krypton is now the Man of Steel, Superman! To best be in a position to use his amazing powers in a never-ending battle for true justice, Superman has assumed the skies of Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper.
Has Wimpy been in yet?
Don't mention that scallywag's name to me. He's a moocher and lives by his wits. But I'm wise to him. He'll get only what he pays for. He can't jip me.